Good morning. What a special time in your life, and we want to recognize just your hard work and what the Lord has done in your life these past few years. Why don't we go before the Lord in prayer this morning as we open up His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. Lord, we thank You that You take us and You shape us and You mold us into people who You would have us to become. I thank You for these graduates that are sitting right here this morning. Lord, I know that they have a lot of potential and that they can be used of You in incredible ways. We thank You for that. Lord, we want to pray that You would bless our time this morning as we look into Your Word. We ask, Father, that Your truth would impact our hearts. Lord, that we would be receptive, and Father, that we would yield to what You would have us to say this morning. We thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. There have been times in my life where I have sought out godly counsel, and then there have been times in my life where I've sought out God's counsel. In the first instance, there was a decision that I had to make, and I would end up going to somebody, not just anybody, but to somebody who I knew would direct me in the right way. Somebody who I knew was walking with the Lord. Somebody who I knew was filled with the Spirit, and that person would help me out. Or multiple people would help me out. There have been other times in my life where I've had to make a decision, and I would have no idea where to turn, and so I would turn to the best place to be, and that would be on my knees right before the Lord. And I would ask Him, and I need to tell you graduates here this morning, that when I have asked for godly counsel, and when I have asked for God's counsel, I have never, ever regretted it. The prophet Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, says in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 29, that the Lord's counsel is wonderful and it is great. Today we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, and I just want to say this question is going to be the question that we have to ask ourselves. Where do we turn when we need to make a decision? Where are we going to turn to? Are we going to turn to our own thoughts, what we think is the best decision, the best choice that we need to make in our life? Are we going to turn to society? Hey, everybody else is doing it, right? It must be okay for me. Or are we going to turn to God and to His Word? I want to ask you this morning, where are we going to seek counsel? Graduates, you have your new Bibles. I'd like for you to turn with me to page 847. For the rest of us, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 36 this morning. Isaiah chapter 36. I want to give a little outline. Maybe you're not familiar with this book. There are 66 chapters in this book total. And within those 66 chapters, we have three sections, three main sections. In chapters 1 through 35, we see the Assyrian period. In chapters 36 through 39, we have a historical narrative. And then again in chapters 40 through 66, we have the ascendancy of Babylon. Today, we are going to be in that second section, starting with chapter 36. Now, this deals primarily with Judah, but I want to say this. The events that we are going to be looking at today are found not only in this chapter of Scripture or in this section of Scripture, but the events that we will be looking at are found in two other books, one in 2 Kings and the other in 2 Chronicles. I believe that it is important for us this morning that God would have this event written out in three different books in three different places. This is something that could really benefit us. I believe this is important for our lives. The Assyrians were coming down from the north. They were capturing every nation, city, and town that stood in its way. And the irony that we find ourselves here in Isaiah chapter 36 is this. The Assyrian army was coming up against not just anybody, but God's people. And I'm not talking about a lowercase g, I am talking about the one true living God. They were coming up against God's people, and the king of Judah during this time, his name was King Hezekiah. Now, I told you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 36. I'd like for you to keep your hand there. But also turn with me to 2 Chronicles. We gain some insight into this king. If you're not sure where 2 Chronicles is, it's in the Old Testament. We've got 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse 20. This verse, this one verse, tells us a lot about this king. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse 20. It says this: "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God." Did you catch that? I believe that there are two kinds of kings that we see in Scripture that have ruled over God's people. There were those, number one, who saw it right to do whatever they wanted to. They did not fear God. They said, you know what, we can go on, we can do our own thing. They get caught up in idolatry and sin, and ultimately they end up going away from the Lord. There have been other kings in the second category who have feared the Lord, and they have sought to do what He wanted them to do. Hezekiah was such a king. He was not content with allowing sin to flourish under his reign. Now, I want to say this morning, whether you are a king of a nation, a high school graduate, or a regular layperson here this morning, I want to tell you that there are choices in this life that need to be made. There's no getting around it. We have to make choices at some point in our life. For you graduates, during this time in your life right now, you are going to be making some very important decisions. And those decisions in this year and in the years to come are going to have impacts on your life as a whole. Don't forget that. And you need to be the ones to make those decisions. I can't make those decisions for you. Your parents can't make those decisions for you. You are the only one who can make those decisions for yourself. Hezekiah definitely had some decisions that he had to make as this Assyrian nation was coming down upon his land. In this text today, we are going to be looking at King Hezekiah. And he found himself in the middle of two important events, and he made two important choices. And who he consulted made all of the difference. Event number one, the first thing that we see in this passage in the second section of Isaiah, is the Assyrian threat. The Assyrian threat. We begin this morning not in the middle of a war zone, but in preparation for a possible war that had the potential to break out in a single moment. The Assyrians were coming down to threaten Judah. They were coming down to threaten Hezekiah. And ultimately, the Assyrians were coming down to threaten God's people. Hezekiah knew this, so he took steps to prepare himself for this threat. There will be times when God will allow you to go through a situation so that ultimately you are completely dependent on Him. The Lord called my wife and I out to a desolate area of our nation in Arizona. One of the joys of being out there, of following the Lord's leading, of being a missionary, was being completely dependent upon my Lord and to see how He was going to provide for us on a day-to-day basis. We've got a missions trip coming up next month. I'm going to be taking the youth group out to Utah. And I got to tell you, there is an individual in this room, I believe, who continually reminds me of this, that there is no power in my strength. But when we look to the Lord, that's where we need to be. We need to be completely dependent on Him. And I love that. The Lord puts us in situations where we need to be continually dependent upon Him. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 36, verse 1. I believe the Lord was doing that for this King Hezekiah. He was putting him in a spot where he would have to look to the Lord, to be dependent on Him. Verse 1, it says this: "Now it came about in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. The king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh," which was not a name but a title meaning field commander. And this field commander was the spokesman for the king of Assyria. And he had along with him a chief commander and a field officer along with a large army. Now, I want to set up the scene that we have before us here this morning. Here we have an army from Assyria and the messengers from Judah, and they met right outside of Jerusalem. And don't forget, they were bracing for war, so we had men from Jerusalem who were on the Jerusalem walls, and they could witness this whole thing that was about to take place. You've got these two messengers, two different nations coming together right there, right outside of the city of Jerusalem. And the messengers from Assyria, they did not act pleasantly to the messengers of Hezekiah. They referred to their king as the great king. And how did they refer to King Hezekiah of Judah? They referred to him as Hezekiah. Now, in this time, in this place, in this setting, I need to tell you that this was just plain rude. That's all it was. It was rude. Let's look at verse 4 here. Then the messenger of Assyria said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have?" Talk about a method of intimidation. The message that Assyria sent to Judah was loud and clear. Assyria was not attempting to humbly come before the Lord and before the presence of the Lord's people. Instead, they were attempting to provoke fear and intimidation in the hearts of God's people. And this is the pinnacle of the threat. We see this in verse 10. The messenger of Assyria says this to the nation of Judah, to God's people, in verse 10. "Have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Now, remember with me, there are Israelites who are on this wall in Jerusalem, and they can hear this threat that is being mentioned right here in this text. So the messengers of Judah, of King Hezekiah, they replied with this in verse 11. Let's look at that. "Then the messengers of Judah said this, 'Speak now to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak with us in Judean, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall.'" In other words, he's saying, don't speak in this language over here, because these men can hear and they can understand what you are saying. What they had proclaimed in the presence of all, what the nation of Assyria had proclaimed in the presence of all, was that God Almighty was not able to deliver his people from their hostile takeover. Look with me at their response to this in verse 36. Do they honor this request? Chapter 36, verse 13 through 20. "Then the messenger of Assyria said this. He cried with a loud voice in Judean so that everybody could hear, 'Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. The city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree and drink each of the waters of his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware that Hezekiah does not mislead you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And when have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord would deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" Ladies and gentlemen, in the history of foolish, arrogant statements, this is one of them. Here he is, he's coming up before God's people, and he has the audacity to make this statement right before the messengers of King Hezekiah and right before the men who are on that wall, who could understand them. This was a great threat. Graduates, I want to challenge you in your life to be individuals who are going to live your life for God, who are going to make decisions, and that you will seek the Lord's counsel in making those decisions. You have a living God that goes before you. And I want to say this, that he has got a desire to use each and every one of you in your life. He's got a great desire in that way. As we yield our lives over to him, he's able to use us. Now, we would agree that King Hezekiah, from a human standpoint, he had a mess on his hands, right? Here this nation had come down. There's a large army along with them. They made this threat. How is King Hezekiah going to respond to this threat? Let's look at what he has to say here. The second thing that we see here in this passage of Scripture is the first choice that King Hezekiah made. Hezekiah did the best thing that anyone could do in this kind of a situation. Hezekiah consulted God. There are many men living in Jerusalem at this time, and when Hezekiah received this threat from Assyria, he sought out one man. He sought out a prophet. His name was Isaiah. Now, during this time, before the scriptures were written out completely, God spoke through men called prophets. And by King Hezekiah going to this individual, the prophet Isaiah, this indicated that he did not want the opinions of this person or that person or what this person over here is going to think. He wanted to get the opinion of God. He wanted to hear what God had to say for him. And the Lord gave him a response. He answered King Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 37, verses 6 and 7. Let's see what that response is. The Lord says this: "Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." These are comforting words, right? Right from the Lord. Let me remind you, when we think that things are going okay, sometimes the Lord puts situations in our lives to continue to depend upon Him. So what was the response of Assyria? Did they say, well, you know what, we're going to turn around, we're going to go home? No, that's not what their response was. It was just the opposite. Look on with me to chapter 37, verses 11 and 12. "Behold, you have heard what the king of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared. Did the gods of those nations which my fathers have destroyed deliver them? Even Gazan and Haran and Rezpah and the sons of Eden who were in Telazar." Hezekiah received this letter, and what does he do with this letter that the Assyrians gave to him? Verse 14, says this in chapter 37. "Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord." Man's tendency when he gets away from the Word of God and when he gets away from prayer is that ultimately he gets away from God Himself. Today we live in a society, in a culture that accepts liberalism, modernism, neo-evangelicalism, but I want to say that this is not only true for mankind as a whole, it is true for us as believers. And if we get away from these things, we ultimately will make decisions that displease the Lord as well. I want to tell you that Scripture backs this up. Keep your hand here in Isaiah and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, right in the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. The Word of God warns about this, and I'm not surprised. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. This is what it says here: "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." God's Word is clear on this matter. Stay in His Word. We used to have a saying at Frontier School of the Bible, and it went something like this. This book, or the Bible, this book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. That might be something you might want to write down right in the beginning of your new Bibles there. this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. We do not have prophets as they had back then in the Old Testament, but you guys, we can rest solely upon the Word of God. God is done revealing information to us, and we have it completed right here. And I think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Word of God is inspired by God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And it doesn't surprise me either in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. It says this, "We are foolish if we do not know what the will of the Lord is." I got to tell you, there was a time when I was in Bible college, I had to make some very important decisions in my life. And I didn't know where to turn. I ended up meeting with an older man. And he shared with me some scriptures. He didn't share with me his own intellectual ideas. He didn't talk with me about his college that he had gone to. Instead, he directed me right to the Word of God. And I got to tell you, that was the best advice that I could have received at that time. Why? Because it came from the very Word of God. We ought not to stray from that at all. Those big questions are going to come. Where are you going to go to college? Who are you going to marry? What's your future career going to look like? Those big questions come in this life. But know this, if you seek out the Lord, He will answer you. Sometimes His answer is a yes, sometimes it's a no, and other times it's just wait. And we need to be okay with that. We need to be okay with that. Let's look on at chapter 37 in Isaiah, verses 36 through 37. Hezekiah implored the Lord. He wanted to know what the Lord's will was. He wanted to seek His help out in these things. And I believe that as we approach the Lord, if we want counsel from Him, there is an attitude that we have to have. We need to be willing to yield ourselves to Him and to be okay with what He has for our lives. This was what had happened. Verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. Here was a king who rose up, who conquered all these nations, who boasted in the fact that their gods, lowercase g, could not save them. But when he came up against God's people, he had a problem. The Lord worked it out on behalf of King Hezekiah. The second event that we see right here in this passage, though, is the Babylonian threat. The Babylonian threat. This is the second event that we see right here. Now, this was a threat that came in a different form. This threat is found in chapter 39 and chapter 38. King Hezekiah became ill. Lord granted him some more life. In chapter 39, verse 1, we read this. At the time, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce this man's name, Merodach Babladan, son of Babladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. For he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Here King Hezekiah had been given two things from this king, the king of Babylon. He had been given a get-well card, and he had been given a gift. So what does he do? King Hezekiah, he goes out and he implores the Lord, "Lord, what should I do here?" Right? No. That's not what we see here. In fact, we see just the opposite. Which leads us to the fourth thing that we see. This was the choice, the second choice that King Hezekiah made. Hezekiah made the call. Hezekiah made the call. Remember this, when you think that you are invincible, you are the most vulnerable. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually." Hezekiah, in this instance, did not seek the Lord, and that is what made all the difference. Let's look at verse 2 of chapter 39. What does he do? Instead of going before the Lord, instead Hezekiah was pleased and showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oil and his whole armory. and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. He showed them everything. Why? Because they were nice to him. It has been said that half the worry in the world is caused by people trying to make decisions that they have sufficient knowledge on which to base a decision. Instead of doing what Hezekiah felt was the right thing to do, he should have made this decision on his knees. And I believe Ryrie's got it right here in my Bible, in the NASB Ryrie Study Bible. He's titled this section, The Stupidity of Hezekiah. In both of these choices, there was a letter that was involved. One letter was a threat, and Hezekiah had no idea what to do. And he did the best thing that he could have done. He went before the Lord on his knees. He laid that letter out. And in the second instance, he thought he would just do whatever he wanted to. There were consequences for that. Younger generations would suffer because of that decision that he had made. And there were consequences. There are consequences when we don't seek the Lord out in our life. So we can do either one of two things, and that question stands for all of us here this morning, including myself. The question is this: who are we going to consult? Are we going to consult God, or are we going to make the call? As we close this morning, I would like to read to you one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and it comes from Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there. Proverbs chapter 3. I have found this verse to be true over and over and over again in my life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And I wanted to share this with you graduates. This is an important word. Let's not forget it. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So I ask this question again. When those decisions come, who are we going to consult? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word, and I just want to thank you for all that you do in our lives. In your name we pray, amen. I'd like to call up Mark Povich as well. He's going to give a closing blessing.
Well, congratulations, graduates. On behalf of your families and friends and congregation, I would like to ask a prayer of a blessing from God upon you now. So if you all join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, God of the universe, creator of all, we have come before you now, lifting up these young people who are starting out in a new chapter of their life. Lord, would you bless them and keep them? Would you make your face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them? Would you grant them an extra measure of your grace and give them the desire and power to do your will joyfully in every day of their life? May you grant them an increased love of you with all their hearts and soul and mind and strength, and help them to love their neighbor as themselves. Give them a hunger and a thirst for your word with rich times of devotion every day. Would you help them to understand who you are? Give them a sense of your awesomeness, a sense of the fear of the Lord, and may they have that continual awareness that you know every thought they have and every word and every action they do, whether it's in open or in private, and that they will work to guard their hearts with all diligence, that they would not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of their minds. And that would come about, Lord, as they hold in higher esteem the truths that you present to them rather than the lies of the world. Would you help them to walk the narrow path of righteousness? which comes from following you. And as they do so in this broken world and see people on the broad path that's leading to destruction, would you just help them be salt and light to a hurting world? Would you prosper the work of their hands and bless them with the peace that passes all understanding and give them a bright joy and a bright hope. Amen.
I would like to just say, right after this last song that we'll be singing, the graduates are going to move into the foyer, and we can congratulate them on their progress. Thank you.
And we aren't having a closing song, so the graduates can move to the foyer.